Good morning. You are on the Andy Griffin Show. This is Mello in for Andy Griffin. And I am really excited because today we have a very special guest with us. Joining us in the studio is Hurricane City Mayor Nanette Billings.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Mayor Billings has been serving the community with a strong focus on balancing growth, protecting resources, and keeping that hometown feel that makes Hurricane so unique. So we're so happy to have you. So you've got some fun things happening this week. What's going on?
Well, I've been at a power conference the last couple of days, and I drove home. It took me 12 hours to come home from Tahoe. It was a long drive. I left at about 7 and got back at 7:30, so it was long. But that power conference was awesome. It was with UAMPS, and we're actually meeting with our Congresswoman Celeste Malloy on Friday at the St. George City office, all of the UAMPS communities like Santa Clara and Washington and St. George and Hurricane. We're all part of UAMPS, which is, it's Utah Municipal Association for Power.
Okay.
And talking about our resources. She's over the natural resources, and so we're having a meeting Friday for that.
That's awesome. Tomorrow. I did hear she's going to be in studio with Andy tomorrow.
Yes.
So that's exciting. So what actually got you into politics? Like, why the mayor? Why politics?
Well, first I was on council, and I'd gone to a council meeting and a little frustrated with some things that happened there.
Mm-hmm.
And I texted out several, like 17 friends, and just said, you should run. And this was like March, and I said, in June they're going to have elections, and so you should consider. And they all told me, I don't want to, I'm too busy, I've never mm-hmm. thought about doing that. And later that night, it was pretty late. My husband had come back, and we were saying our prayer, and I was actually saying the prayer, and I said, please help us find good people in our community that don't have an agenda, that are willing to serve. And he said, why don't you do it? And I said, I don't want to. I'm too busy. I've never thought about it. And he goes, you know, it's hard to ask other people to do things you're not willing to do.
Wow.
And so I ran for council, and I didn't have any intention to run for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of people in our community that came to me, about 25, about the month before, and said, you should run. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. Well, it kind of hit me, just the person that was running hadn't had any contenders.
Okay.
And I felt like that was important, too. He hadn't actually ran because it was by acclamation. So to be on council for those 12 years, I just felt like it's important to, like, run a campaign and be accountable to constituents. That
sure.
was just something that was important. But anyway, I didn't have any intention of winning. I just knew I was going to run like my hair was on fire so that I could, you know, just be, so people would have to be accountable and listen to people, because this is about people.
Yes.
The election, everything I've done in the last 6 years, 5.5 years, has been to serve our community.
Mm-hmm.
It's about people.
Yeah.
It's about what's best for your community. And so, anyway, I ended up winning, and there's only, it's hard because you have good people. Like, he
mm-hmm.
was a good person, and there was only really three things that I said. I'm going to tell you three differences, because pretty much we have a lot of the same. He's a good man, good person. I mean, I felt like he was my friend. I felt like but the only three things that I felt like are differences, and it was, he voted for zone changes to have increased density on projects that I felt like didn't follow our master plan.
Mm.
And so I've always continually followed that master plan. I feel like I'm not smarter than the people that wrote up our $90,000 plan. I feel like if we're looking at this, we shouldn't be changing residential from our commercial. We need commercial so people can work in our community and
mm-hmm.
start businesses in our community and live where they work.
Amen.
And so, and that was happening. We were just building more apartments than we were businesses, and I felt like we can't get rid of commercial because you never get commercial back. People don't want you to go put a Maverick out in the middle of the field. They want it on corridors where they can, you know, have that neighborhood and highway commercial. So that was just one of them. The second was meetings. We have lots of meetings and kind of tap a watch and say, hey, you know, I don't know if I can get there, or it's a long meeting. Do we have to stay there this long? And I went, as a mayor, you have a lot of meetings. Like, I'm in meetings all day. I have
mm-hmm.
lots. So I knew it was quite a bit of time. And the other was just city over citizens.
Mm.
Like, how does this affect city instead of how does this affect citizens? So my question is always, how does this affect citizens? Because government is about citizens. It's
right.
about people.
Amen. I love that you have that kind of heart.
Anyway.
So what is it you love most about Hurricane?
Oh, the people.
The people.
Yeah. They're my friends and good people, and I'm just grateful to be able to help.
Yeah, and your family has stayed around the area.
I have a huge family, very, very big family. I'm out of 13, I'm number five out of 13.
Wow.
I have 9 of my siblings that live in town and 28 nieces and nephews that have built homes there. I have 3 of my children that have bought homes in Hurricane. And yeah, so I'm pretty blessed to have a lot of, and then extended families.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of people that are, and friends, just
yeah.
lots of family. I mean, I don't have any enemies. I just have people that you just maybe disagree with something, but
mm-hmm.
that's like normal.
Right.
But I love people and I'm grateful for them.
So you're invested in this community, which is a really nice thing yeah. to hear from the mayor. So what are some of the challenges that you've experienced with the rapid growth? Because Hurricane is bustling.
Yeah. Probably the biggest challenge is people think that you as the mayor have the, I'm not going to say obligation, but you have the responsibility or that you have the authority, which you don't,
mm-hmm.
for growth. And if people own property, they have the right to develop it. And so they think, oh, well, the mayor can control that. No, you cannot. You can only control through zoning, and that's your council that votes, not the mayor. But as far as inviting businesses in, I've met with a lot of businesses. Oh, my goodness, so many good ones. And we're hoping, I mean, when I say this, it's just not just a hope, but we're hoping that some of them come sooner than later because it's enjoyable to not have to travel to St. George to go to Texas Roadhouse or
mm-hmm.
Panda or some of those businesses, like if you want to go to Home Depot. We have some businesses coming in that it's exciting, and I'm really, really thrilled. But it's also, they're on the corridor, they're where they're supposed to be in the zoning, so those are things. And when people are ready to build their business, I had a few people that came in during the time that we were doing like question and answer, and they'd say things like, well, why don't you bring in, and they named some types of restaurants instead mm-hmm. of Mexican or instead of pizza. I said, that's not government's role. Like, we don't provide with Mexican or pizza. We didn't bring in Mexican pizza. People bring in Mexican pizza. They bring in their businesses, and if they didn't feel like that was going to work, they're not going to bring in Mexican pizza.
Right. You're allowing them to go into certain areas.
Well, and you can't not allow them.
Mm-hmm.
If they check the boxes, if they're a restaurant and they do all the things, like have the grease traps for their, I mean, if they do everything they're supposed to, they can.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what kind of restaurants. If you have 5 Mexican right next to each other, or Lynn's, Harmon's, Safeway, Target, Albertson's, they can.
Yeah.
And so they determine the market. They determine if they're going to stay in business or not. It's not government's, like, that's not part of the role, and you can't change that.
Yeah. I will say I was in Hurricane last weekend, and
yeah.
I love to go to Gypsy Emporium. That's one of my favorite stops. And then we actually ate at the Rooster Run Cafe.
Okay.
I'd never been there. It was amazing. And
yeah.
the service was so, so kind.
Very
and
local. And you talk about the hometown or the small town charm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get. We have like Main Street Cafe and Triple TJ's and Pig's Ear and Rooster Run. They're people from our community that make it that way, that
mm-hmm.
make you feel at home.
Yeah.
They love to serve, and they're very good at their service. So, yes.
I know. It was really fun. I really enjoyed it. So let's talk about major infrastructure projects. Are there any with the roads, utilities, or water coming that
we
you
have
talk about?
So many. And I just filled out another grant with the Governor's Office of Economic Development because it's really important for us to have the infrastructure in our roadway. So when UDOT came in and built SR7, they did not acquire the roadway for utilities. They only came in and just built a road. Every road that's in your city all has utilities. That's
mm-hmm.
just like what you do. You don't just have a road with a road. It's utilities. That's very important so you can build a house and
mm-hmm.
connect to water, sewer, and power. So we have just barely acquired all of the right-of-way for the utility easement on the west side of the road for power. We're still working on the right side for water, but right now. And so I just applied for this grant with the governor's office. And we've received one other grant for another transmission line on 600 North, and it was for $986,000. This one's for, we're asking for $400,000 to help us. It's a $4 million project, but we need to have the power along SR7 to get to 3000 South for the industrial area, for commercial, and for other residential. And we have 5 substations in the process. 5, one for the hospital, and then others for different development in our city. We just have a lot going. That's only on power. Water, we have a lot of water projects. Right now we're in the process, and we're in the third phase of our irrigation expansion. So in 1991, we started the first irrigation expansion. That's from where the bluff starts, so the Virgin River and up the top of the cliff, mm-hmm. all the way to about 400 south to Gould's Wash. And that was done in 1991. We haven't had another irrigation project since then.
Really?
And so we acquired some funding through the Division of Water with the state, and then also NRCS federally has paid for 75% of this project, and we paid the other 25. And this is building 2 1-million-gallon settling ponds. And then the trunk lines that go down all your major roads. And now we're hooking it to the farm. And hopefully I can visit with Celeste on tomorrow about NRCS helping us with that third leg of funding. Where the government had not been funding projects, we want to get water to the end of the row, literally, so it connects to all these farms. And that's the next portion. But we have a new 2-million-gallon water tank that we're building. Line extensions. We're drilling 3 wells right now. I mean, we are working on water projects because they're all really important. The only thing government can do with water is access it, retain it, and deliver it. Okay. Like, we don't create water. God mm-hmm. creates water. We're the accessor, deliver, and we retain it so that we can deliver it to people. And so those are the things that we've been working on in Hurricane. And then road projects. We have a lot of road projects.
Yeah, and so that's kind of your sustainable water planning, is getting the water to all of the ends of Hurricane.
Yeah.
And making sure. And you also work with the Water Conservancy District?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, we're partners. We're part of the regional water supply agreement, and we work very, very closely. And it's amazing because just all of the, every aspect of water has to be worked with all the communities. Like, we have to be collaborative in that effort and making sure that with conservation we're working together with how we deliver it and retain it and move it from mm-hmm. one end to the other. Here's a good example. So I'm the chairman of the Ash Creek Sewer District Board, and we voted almost 3 years ago to build the Confluence Park. And this treatment plant is so that all of the sewage that comes from Laverkin will come from Virgin now as well, because they're part of the district mm-hmm. now. Tokerville and Laverkin, all of their outside watering was from the springs, like Tokerville Falls, from those springs. And so we're converting, so perfectly good spring water won't be used on outside watering anymore. That will go to culinary. So that's you great. Can build homes, and people can have, you know, let their kids build a house. And that will be the transition will be the type 1 that's in Confluence Park will now be used on the outside irrigation. So you have to switch what you're doing and say, we need water from here instead of here, because this is our, and it's easier to clean the spring water for people to drink than the other. And yeah. And it's going on outside, that's fine. It just goes into the
cycle. And then what is Hurricane doing as far as creating and maintaining some affordable housing? And also, I am curious, because I'm a realtor, what are you doing with like vacation rentals and permits and all of those kinds of things too?
Those are good questions. Okay. So as far as affordable housing, government does not solve problems.
Amen. You're right. They create opportunities for people to fill in the gap.
Yes. Yes. But there's not one solution. There's so many. So we have helped with self-help homes. We've helped with Habitat for Humanity. We've helped with zoning. We've helped with, opportunities so that if people have come in with like a LICA project, or if they've come in with some, because LICA, that's through more federal funding, but it makes so that's available. And we've had a few of those in our city.
Mm-hmm.
We currently, tonight, we have on our civic center mm-hmm. that we have a little bit of affordable housing right in there. And hopefully that the council will look at that and determine whether or not that's important to them. And so when the council votes on that, we'll see. But we do have some, I think it's 22, 4,000 square foot lots. And then, depending on what they decide, the zoning for that right now is multifamily, so they can have up to 15 units per acre. I know that we have several council members that are not in favor of having 15 units per acre. That's an apartment mm-hmm. building with, it would be 60 apartments for that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then others would just like to have homes. So I'm not sure where they're going to vote, but that does come from our own property. It would go out to bid. It wouldn't, like, our city is not doing that. It'd be normal people that are just building houses that would solve that problem. But those are a few of the things. But you ask about permitting with the vacation rental.
Right, because it's changed recently,
It has. So in about 2016, it was open that you could have a home, and based on every 1,000 people in population, they would issue 3 more permits, and then you could have a single-family home be a vacation rental in any neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that caused a lot of challenges. We had so many people complain. The neighbors said, why did you put a hotel next to my house? And so when I became the mayor, we brought it back up and said, you know, maybe we don't want to have that in our neighborhoods because the people are not asking for that, and it's about citizens. They live mm-hmm. next to these people. Mm-hmm. And so, and then also the value of a home is being sold as a vacation renter for a business. So the value of all homes go up. Mm-hmm. And so that made it very challenging. And so our council actually pulled it back and said, let's get rid of the list. Let's not have that waiting list. Let's not have any opportunity for new. Now, if someone has one, you can't take entitlements away. So we can't just go in and say, never mind, we don't like this, we're not doing this. That's not the way you can do that. That's like against the law. But so we're not doing that, but we've limited that. But then if you live in the home, you can rent it long term or you can rent it short term. And if you have 0.8 of an acre, you can rent one long term and one short term or both long term.
Okay.
And we have people that are renting both long term or one long term, one short term, or one just short term. I mean, one long term or one just short term. So it just depends on where they're at. But a lot of people are renting long term because the short term rental market is a little saturated.
It is.
So they're not filling up all the houses and they're staying empty and they're not making the money they were before. So they're renting out long term, which is helping with affordable housing because supply demand mm-hmm. makes so that when you have that supply, the cost of living can go down.
Exactly. So what happens if, say, somebody already got the process done and they have the permit?
They're allowed.
Right. But what if they sell that property? Then does that go
Entitlements with property.
It does go with the property.
It does.
Yeah. So I live in Santa Clara.
Okay.
And the house next to me was owned by a family and then they sold it, and the family that purchased it actually does rent it out. I have had a bus drive up and drop off a whole, like, girls soccer team into the property, and there's not much I can do about it.
Yeah.
So I can see the frustration of people. So it's nice you listened.
Now, if they don't renew, then they don't have the opportunity to get it back because they didn't renew. Or if they get, and I would call it like 3 strikes, if they get complaints and they're valid complaints where they really have some issues that they have affected the neighbors,
mm-hmm.
we've looked at that and we have taken away licenses because of that.
Really? So if they have bad renters mm-hmm. that are coming in and causing noise complaints?
Correct. It's the responsibility of the owner to control that, to not have people doing things that are disrupting the neighbors.
Yeah. So. And then, so I didn't even realize this. I knew this, but, you know, when you're looking at the whole picture of Hurricane City.
Yeah.
Hurricane City. It's really expansive. It's large. How many miles? It's like
54 square miles.
54.
Yeah, we're the third largest city in Utah. Yeah.
Wow, so you guys have a lot of
room to grow. 22% developed. 22. So 23 maybe. I mean, it's still a lot of, and it's private property. This isn't BLM. So we don't have the opportunity to say, oh, we're going to leave all this green space and open space. When people look at property, they'll go, that's probably being developed because guess what? I don't own it and the government doesn't own it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting developed because someone owns it. And if someone owns it, they can.
That's true. So you guys don't have much of a say in that.
No.
But you guys do have the opportunity to be one of the largest cities in southern Utah to be.
And I would love for all this green and open space to stay like that, but I don't own the property, so I can't mm-hmm. say I'm going to just leave it open.
No, you
can't. Someone that owns it can say, I can leave it open, or no, I'm selling it. And hopefully all of our farms stay, and hopefully people, they want to keep that.
But it's not for the council to say, right?
It's not.
So what businesses are you hoping to attract? What have you guys talked about as your council?
Yeah, so I visited with Texas Roadhouse, Sam's Club.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. We have reached out to Trader Joe's.
Oh my gosh.
We'll see what, I mean, I don't know. I don't, who knows? Who knows? I mean, and you know what? Sometimes they come to these outlying areas.
Mm-hmm.
We have two hospitals that are looking right now on exit 16 and then also right on SR9, SR7 right there.
That's true. Hurricane has to come into town to go to the hospital, right?
Right. And we have IHC is up on the hill with an emergency, and they're that emergency room or department, I think, to call an emergency department has been a lifesaver. It's been such a blessing to have it there. We're really grateful. If they decided to expand into their rooms that they've talked about, that would be awesome too. I believe in competition. I believe in capitalism. It works, and it helps solve all problems.
And I think that St. George would be very jealous if Hurricane gets the Trader Joe's first, because that's all over social media that they really, really want that.
Washington's getting a Winco. I heard that.
That. I did hear that too.
Press is pretty excited. That's awesome.
Winco's are cool.
They are.
They have really good deals there too. Okay, I guess have to go pay a couple bills, as Andy would say. So we're gonna go to commercial and we'll be back.
Okay.
Thank you, Miss Annette. Do 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 do. Sorry, I could not find the jingle. This is Mellow.
That sounded great. Good job.
On the Andy Griffin Show, and I am lucky enough to be with Nanette Billings, and she is the mayor of Hurricane City, and she has been doing an amazing job as they are growing and becoming a really amazing city to hang out in. And you're so close to the national parks. How does that affect everything with you, with your tourism and balancing that with the people that live there?
Probably 30% of our economic impact in our city is from tourism. It's a really high number. But we have more than 40,000 cars a day going on SR9. And so that's really where our traffic is. Our traffic is, you go one block north on 100 North or one block south on 100 South, and you don't have traffic. But on SR9, we have traffic because we get the 40,000 cars a day going to and from Zion National Park. They go to Sand Hollow State Park, Quail Lake State Park. They go to Lake Powell. They go to Grand Canyon. They're going to, right, Jellystone or Pecan Valley, or they're coming to go to Tuacon, or they're coming
into Powell.
Yeah, all of those. Yes.
Yeah. So you guys are just a thoroughfare.
We are. And so that main road is attractive to the businesses, and they come. And yes, then we have more hotels that now, more restaurants. And it's just because you can't get rid of it unless you build another bypass road, and there's not going to be a bypass road going through Hurricane. So we should never have major traffic through our city. In our city, it's through the city.
That's true. Just kind of getting through to the other side. What about like parks and recs? What do you guys have for the kids and for the people? And
good question. So we have a really good sports complex that was built many years ago. Our American Legion, they donated property, and we had a rodeo grounds at the same location, and then they built 5 baseball fields. And then just recently, I went to several business owners and asked, how can you help us? We want some indoor facilities. And so I ended up having one of our business owners, Robert Litchfield, he donated a building, and then we built a 2-court gym. And right now I went to the Washington County RAPTEX, to the Greater Zion Board, and asked if we could get some money. And they gave us $2 million to help with our 4-court gym. And then we've used our park and recs, our impact fee, and we're building a 4-court. And it will be done in November, December.
And that'll be indoors?
We'll have 6 gyms. And you think of all the things you can do inside, between tumbling and dance and basketball and volleyball and pickleball and wrestling. There's so many things that can be done indoors. And in the summer or in the winter, it's a perfect opportunity for kids to actually still stay active. We have a 3-track mezzanine. So it's a like 3-track walking lane on the top of the gym, and then we have a mezzanine where you can have all kinds of activities, some elliptical, maybe treadmill, those kind of things up there where they can play ping pong or pool or whatever with kids while their other brothers and sisters are watching.
Nice.
So they can watch the game. It's going to be awesome, but we'll have both of those gyms completed by the end of this year. I mean, the one's already open, the 2-court.
Okay.
Other rec facilities, we're replacing our pickleball courts. We have 6 currently. We'll have 8 right there. And we're just taking it out and putting them in. We have post-tension concrete coming in because right now the concrete is split and it's cracked everywhere, and it's really bad to play right there, is they'll all be going north and south instead of east to west. So we have two that are east and west currently, and we have six, we'll have eight. We'll also have close to Dixie Springs and Sand Hollow area. When you come on the Sand Hollow Road, if you keep going instead of turning to go to Sand Hollow, keep going to the south towards Dixie Springs. We're building, it's not Hurricane City that's building, it's through development that's building and paying for it. It's like $3.8 million. The building, 16 pickleball courts and two soccer fields right there.
Wow.
And so, right, those are some things that are going to happen by the end of this year. We're going to have some new fields and new courts. So
that's great, because it's so important to keep the youth active and moving and not being bored and causing mayhem.
Well, it also helps, yes, the mayhem you're talking about, but also, I mean, healthy lifestyles are really important. And we're going to have some connections. These new trails will allow people to ride their bikes and to be able to get outside, and we want people to be able to have that opportunity.
So where are the trail systems going to be from? Can you get all the way to St. George? Where are they?
Not yet.
Up?
We're working on that. Along 600 North, we just finished that trail that goes almost to the golf course, and we're still working. There's still a little bit of BLM. When I say this a little bit, I'm talking about 3 or 4 feet.
No way.
Yeah, and it's going through the desert tortoise habitat.
There's so many important tortoises there.
We've been working on it for like 3 years, but we're working on it. With the BLM's helping us. We have good leadership. Jason West is trying to help us get to the end of the row with that. But, yeah, we're working on some really good infrastructure, and that will connect all the way. We're wanting to go to Grandpa's Pond, and then from Grandpa's Pond over to Washington. We're working on some of those connections as well. And then down to Confluence Park, so we'll connect to Laverkin, because the new trail that's going from Laverkin to Springdale, we want to connect to that so people can just continue St. George to Washington, Washington to Hurricane, Hurricane to Laverkin, Laverkin up to Springdale. That will be our connection. So we're working on both ends of our city.
Yeah, because you've got a large area to cover. That's amazing.
And Greater Zion just gave us a little bit of money for some of our trails. I was in their meeting just to a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working on one that's a bridge across 180 West, and then for some of our other trails. And so they've been very accommodating, trying to help us solve some of our problems. We have a lot of needs in Hurricane.
I know, but you guys are doing a great job, and it's such a fun city to visit. Like, I really love to go there, and you have some really quaint shops there and some fun restaurants to go to. So your long-term vision for Hurricane, what would that include? What would you see like 10, 15 years from now? How would you like it to be for your grandchildren? And
So I consider everything a 40 or 50 or 100-year plan, because what we do today matters for later. And I remember first getting on council, and they were considering, it was actually before I was on council, they had come into the community and said, we want to build a recreation center, and it's going to be $26 million. And the community basically said, we want a recreation center, we just don't want to bond for it. So that's how I kind of look at something. When you say 20 or 40 or 60 years, I don't want to leave my children or grandchildren with debt. So the things that I've done have been where I have raised money, I have gone out and filled out grants, or I've gone and gotten donations. I mean, just for our two-court gym, State Bank gave us $100,000. For our four-court gym, Sonic Doors and Windows gave us another $100,000. You just can, if you go to the community, they want to help. And you don't have to bond for everything. And so that's what I have not done. I have gone out and said, how can we do this? We want this. How can we do this without having to leave the debt for everyone else later? And what can we do to save and build with what we have? Live within our means. Stay in a budget. So those are the things that are really important. So when I look at something 120 or 40 years, I don't want people paying on something that I helped create now. Mm. It should be paid for when we're building it, and not so the next things we're saving for the upcoming things. And it's really important to realize you can't commingle money. For example, if you're building recreation, that's through park impact fees. You can't use that money on police wages or on a road or on engineering for something, a random something that you need to have done. It has to go towards park and recreation. So it's important to realize where the funds come from and what you're going to use them on.
I really appreciate that, because you're right. There's a lot of people in political power that are gonna tax everybody and bond everybody, so that yes, you have all these nice things, but you're paying for it for eons.
Sure.
And I love that you're living within your means. Like, that's that's the way you should do it.
Well, every family should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Every business should be doing that. Government should be doing that.
I love it.
And we balance our budget, and we live within our means over there. So I'm like, no, we're not going to tax out our people or bond things to ever so that you have just payments. Debt is it's evil. It is not good for you. It's never good because you're bound.
That's true.
It is important for you to save and pay as you go and not have expenses later.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So as your city is growing, how is Hurricane investing in the fire, police, and emergency services?
Those are good questions.
I just have all sorts of questions
sure
for you today.
Do. I
Sorry.
Love it. So Hurricane City is part of the fire district, which means that we are one of the seven that's part of the district. So we have Kolob and Springdale, Rockville, Virgin, Leverkin, Tokerville, Hurricane, Leeds, and then the county. So there's nine. I said seven, there's nine.
There's nine.
I'm like, count on my fingers, that's nine. and so we're one of those of the partners with that. So the district, right now we have Councilman Ellerman, who's helping with that. And so our city is a very large percentage, more than 70% of the district's income and population, like of what they serve.
Mm-hmm.
We have probably the most calls from our area because we have the most people right there.
Mm-hmm.
But we're supportive of our EMS and fire. We're grateful they're there to help us. I was not in favor of taxing, and they increased our taxes, and that's just because I feel like we have to live within our means.
Mm-hmm.
Every family, business, and government should.
Yes.
So I felt like there were other solutions, but I was outvoted. How's that?
There you go.
So I've done my part to try to, but I support them. I'm grateful for their service and what they do. I'm grateful for everything that they represent, and I try to show appreciation as often as I can. It was last year, they had one of their flags that ripped, and we brought them over one of our flags from our city and said, we support you. We love you. And they come to all of our, joint utility meetings, and they come in to our staffing meetings, and we're part of they're part of our community, and we're part of theirs. So we work together really well as a agency. There can be feelings when you don't vote for something that they want, like a tax increase.
Right.
But it's not because I don't support them personally. It's not a personal issue. It's a policy issue. So there's a difference in how you feel about something, and you have to stand up for that. Policing, man, when I became the mayor, this was a very tough situation because we were hiring people that were leaving our city because they would be trained and then they could go somewhere else for a higher wage. And so over the last 3.5 years that I've been the mayor, we've had 9 increases for police. And here's a good example. We were hiring a brand new officer at probably $22 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're hiring a new officer. And I'm going to say they're at $42,000. That's about, and then they have about $30,000 in benefits. So
really?
They're about $70,000 for a new officer. And when I say, when I started, an officer 3 who had been here 12 to 18 years, they were only making $57,000. And now they're at $93,000. So we have made major strides. This is a hard thing because you don't want to throw people under the bus. You want to say, there's just changes over the last few years with COVID and costs of wages and living have gone up. We've had to adjust and not be the hiring ground for everyone else to retain our officers. And they're good people. We have good officers in Hurricane City. I'm really grateful for their work, and we want to show them that we value them and that they see that by what we've done. And that's getting your council on board, because the council votes on your budget.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you agree with something or want something, you have to get your council on board to make changes like that.
Yeah,
and I've got
do.
A good finance director, a good city manager and a good chief of police that's working through these numbers with us. So I'm really grateful.
I love that. So when we come back from our break,
okay,
I have a lead foot.
Okay.
So I want to talk about all the different speed limits on SR9 and if they are on purpose to catch people like me. So we will be right back after this. Okay, I'm learning the buttons. This is Mello on the Andy Griffin Show, and I am with Mayor Nanette Billings, and we were just going to talk briefly, just for one, just indulge me. The speed limits, it's 65, and then it's 50, and then it's this corner right here is 45, and then it's back to 35. I'm so confused. Why? Do they just want to give me tickets?
That is a great question, and the answer is no to that. We did just hire a new traffic officer. So people should be paying attention to their, to the speed and if they're running red lights because we have a new traffic officer. But I will tell you that's no. So UDOT, they do a traffic study. And every speed limit is based on a traffic study. It's not just random, oh, well, we'd like to slow traffic down right here. It's absolutely because of a study saying this is the speed someone should be going right here.
Really?
It is not random. It is not somebody that the police or other people go, oh, we should do this. Nope. It's based on UDOT and their traffic studies. All of it.
I want to believe you so much. Yeah. I really want to believe you. But in Santa Clara, I swear for years, coming down the hill, it was 25, and then all of a sudden, one day, magically, it was 35. I'm like, okay, enough people complained.
And it's actually not because of complaints. It's usually if it's drivers' habits. And so they come in and do these traffic studies, and they go, oh, the natural speed right here is this. And so that's how it changes. It's not because of people complaining. It's never because of complaints. It's based on actual habits of people.
So do they get the information for the habits based on how many tickets they give at 35
they
going down a certain
but
hill?
They do have people out there that and they have a monitoring system that do that. So it's very objective instead of subjective.
Okay.
How's that?
I'm working hard to believe you on that, but you've told me the truth about so many things. I'm going to believe you. Okay, so you also were telling me on the break there's a new road. Tell me about the new road.
So it's not a new road yet, but we are engineering it. So we've been working with the state park, with the Washington County Water Conservancy District because it's their property, with the state park because it will go into the state park and it will be the queuing lanes, and then also we've been working with State Park, Washington County Water Conservancy, UDOT. Mm-hmm. It's the SR7 and it's exit 19. And I actually had a resident reach out to me this last week and said, well, you have not given anyone credit for this. And I said, I didn't even know that you were helping with this. So tell me about it. And he's like, we visited with the DNR. And I went, I've never visited with the DNR about this. I've only visited with state parks and our legislators. I've called legislators. And I mean, why don't you call up, 75 legislators for the House and 29 for your Senate. It takes a lot of time. I spent 100 hours calling people and saying, please help us. And my first question was, how often do you come to Southern Utah? And they say, oh, we come all the time. Like, do you ever go to Sand Hollow? Yes, we do. We love to bring our boat down there, or we love to rent a boat, or we love to come down and stay in a vacation rental and go over and kayak or whatever. And so my question was, well, have you ever used ATVs? And they say, sure. Yes, we love to do that. And we'll either bring ours or we'll rent them. And then I've asked them if they've ever had challenges with the tunnel under SR7. There's a one-way tunnel. And especially when you're having events like Matt's Off-Road Recovery or the ATV Take, the Trail Hero, whatever, all of them, the Winter Jamboree, when they have 5,000 of the machines in there and it's only a one-way tunnel, they have to have people at both ends. And it can take you an hour or two or three to get through there. I'm not joking. It is very intense. So other ways people go to the east or to the west to move through the park rather than going through that tunnel to get back for trailering their vehicles and stuff. And so my question to the legislators is, we really need another access, not just for emergencies. We want it for emergencies. It's probably the most important reason is for emergencies, so we can get people out of there when there is an emergency. We don't have to helicopter them out.
Right.
But the other is just for congestion, just to make it better. And so visiting with the legislature, they were very, very in favor. So if you look at exit 19, there's only on and off ramps that go to the east currently.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't go anywhere besides just to the east. There's a gate closed. You can't go anywhere besides on and off there.
Mm-hmm.
And now it'll be on and off ramps going to the west and a queuing lanes going to the state park. And they're going to build a new state park entrance on the southeast corner of the lake so they can have people come in right there and exit right there, go through the green gate to the BLM property on Sand Mountain. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a blessing. So, and I'm really grateful for any of the people. And I know like Jeff Bieber, he's over the Desert Roads and Trails. I know he's gone up and visited, but I didn't know he talked to them specifically about this project because I hadn't talked to him specific. I mean, I went to all of these different entities like Tri-State ATV Club, Desert Roads and Trails. I went to them and said, hey, will you write us a letter of support? We're wanting to do this. But I didn't know they had gone up and were doing all of these meetings to help with this because they didn't communicate with me or go to any meetings with me. I didn't go with them. They didn't come with me. So I didn't even know. Like, I'm so grateful for all of the collaboration because it makes these kind of things happen. And tonight on our agenda, we're bringing it to the council because Hurricane City is the, so we're going out for qualifications for engineering and our city is going to be the entity that's in charge of the build. And so we'll have UDOT and we're collaborating with all of them because we build them to those standards, but it just makes so that it's going to work. Anyway, I'm super excited about this. It will be it's a good project. And I personally filled out a grant for $2 million and received the money through Utah Outdoor Rec to help pay for these on and off ramps and this road extension. So it was a lot of effort on, you know, on our part to get it. And these are the things in our city that we need, these kind of connections and extensions.
Right. And without the debt. So that's amazing that you are doing that extra work to save future generations bondage, right? So I love it. So how can residents, like these other residents that are getting involved, how do you recommend people get involved in the decision making and making a difference in Hurricane City or in
come
politics?
To City Council. That's one of the best, and it's not on Facebook, I'll tell you that, because Facebook doesn't solve any problems, but City Council does.
What about St. George word of mouth? That's a good place to solve problems, too.
I would disagree, but
I'm just kidding.
But it's just because you don't, personally, first of all, they don't get all the information. Mm-hmm. And people will put opinions on there, and it's not factual. And so unless you're actually getting it where there's a law behind it, and it's a really good example that sometimes people will do or say things that they think are acceptable, and it's just not, it's like against the law. Mm-hmm. So we had somebody randomly put up some signs that said Hurricane deserves better. That is against the law. And so if you put something up that's against the law, and then, so there's two things. If it's political, who knew who it was? We didn't know if it was a candidate. If it wasn't a candidate, we didn't know if it was a group or a ballot initiative. So something like that. Both of them. It's not against your First Amendment right because it has to be you holding it. It has to be on your property, like maybe your car, your home. Mm-hmm. Then it would be against your First Amendment and a political. But we didn't know either of those things. So it's actually against the law both ways.
Wow.
First Amendment and politically. It's not either. And so those kind of things, if you know the law, but people can twist things. And on word of mouth, it became like, oh, I'm the evil person because we took them down.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't allowed. They're against the law.
Right.
And so that's the thing is you know law and it makes so you're empowered. Mm-hmm. But people can twist things and word of mouth or Facebook, people get on and say whatever they want and it doesn't even have to be true.
I don't even follow that stuff. So, I'm hearing bits and pieces. So I'm putting together what you're saying. But
so
that's,
silly.
That's not fair. So another way to get involved, you're saying, is to go to the meetings and actually get up and is there a moment where people can speak? How does
we
that work?
We do have, so some cities don't have this, but we do. We have what's called public forum and they can sign up right before and we allow them. And if they want to talk on an agenda item, like we will actually talk about it and address it on the agenda item. They can wait and talk during that time. If they just have something they want to bring up to the council, ask questions, we have that time before. At the public, in the very beginning of the meeting, we'll say, this is time for questions or public forum, or someone has a statement, somebody's coming in, they'll talk about a road that they have concerns on, or whatever those things are. And then they can get answers, yes.
I love that. And then what if people are wanting to get involved in politics? Like, how do you start if you want to?
I knew nothing. So you can learn anything, and if you put in the time, I've sat in 1,000 hours of meetings to learn, and it comes down to you have to love the people, and you have to love the fact that you're going to be voicing for people.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to try to do the things that people want, and sometimes it's hard. Like, I have a really hard time because I love all the people, and it's not because I'm taking a side. I just have to look at it and go, where is it we're getting the most people that want something? Like the lights on the airport is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
We had 5 pilots that lived in town, 40 that lived out of town, all the cities around us. And then we had 300 citizens going, please don't put lights on. And it wasn't for the lights shining at night. It was because SUU has helicopters and they have 500 students all year, every semester. They have 500 new students and they have to land somewhere. So I called Beaver and Parowan and all of the surrounding airports, and they're landing there all night long. And our city said, wait, we had a day use airport. We don't want night landing. We would like to have the reprieve. We don't want to have them here. Sometimes they were there in hurricane flying 3 and 4 helicopters at a time for 12 hours all day long. They said, please don't let that happen where they're just landing all day long. And they can land 5 minutes away in St. George. where there's lights. Mm-hmm. And they said, it's always been day use. Please don't do that. So it comes down to citizens. Like, what do we allow? How do we move forward with making sure that we're trying to make it best for our community? And it's based on public engagement, people saying what they want.
I love it. So we have just a couple minutes left. Okay. But I am curious, what is your best advice that you personally have received about leadership? Because you're an amazing leader. So what kind of inspired you or words that stuck with you about leadership?
Oh, man, I'm learning so much. Just this last week, somebody said, quit taking all the credit. And I went, okay, I didn't realize I was taking all the credit. I'm just saying the things I actually did. Like, I actually filled out the grant, or I actually went to the meeting, or I actually stood up before the legislature. I actually, you know, so it's
called 100 people.
Yeah, right. I call all the people for that. I don't know how to not do that, I guess. And I said, I'm working on that, not taking all the credit for something and then being responsible for what does go wrong. Like, I had to take a responsibility for one of our airport issues because we were supposed to, we had submitted a letter and we didn't turn something in time, and we had an airport council member that was over something, and I wasn't blaming him. I just said, you know what, we just didn't get it in. These are things that are important. And so you have to take responsibility when it's your responsibility and maybe not take all the credit, I guess, maybe figure out the verbiage so that other people feel involved. Like, I wasn't trying to leave anyone out of their help. I didn't even know they'd been with the DNR. I never met with the DNR. I only met with Utah, like the state parks, and I only met with our legislators. So I didn't meet with DNR. I didn't even know that had that conversation about that, trying to help me. I knew they were up there talking about like events and permitting with the state park and the amount of money, but I didn't know any of those conversations even happened. So.
I know. I think you're doing a great job, and I think you do deserve some credit because you are. I love that you're leading without all of the debt, and I love that you do love the people. So it's been such a joy to meet with you.
Mel, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And Andy will be back tomorrow.
Perfect.
He'll be back with Celeste Malloy.
Perfect. We'll hear from Congresswoman.
Yes. Thank you guys for being here.